Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
We'll get to Sam. 916-339-1140. Did you guys forget that today is day one of the NFL draft is a question? No. I'm just being transparent. I don't know if everybody...
Dave, who are the Commanders taking?
Yeah, right. This is no offense to anyone that does this. Content is content. I get it. And I know this is an unpopular opinion. I hate NFL draft pre-coverage.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
We can tell you when after tomorrow.
I don't... Hey, who do you think they're going to pick? I don't know. Who do you think these guys... I don't know. You know what we will do? We'll do draft recap tomorrow and all next week when we tell you who is picked. The only thing worse to me than who do you think this team's going to take? I don't know. But let's... The only thing worse than that is, ooh, they took this guy. Not a great pick.
Right.
Not a great pick. Or, hey, they took this guy. This guy could kill. Oh, my God. This guy's going to be a mate. You don't know.
Right.
You have no idea. But let's, you know, hey.
Yeah.
Anyways, our draft coverage is brought to you by the Xfinity Sports Zone. All the sports information, live games you need, all in one place, personalized for you.
There you go.
Just saying.
Yeah.
So we'll have your, you know. There's plenty of places. I don't want you to leave.
Right.
Plenty of places you can, you know, throw a dart at a board. Oh, I think it's going to be this guy. Now, don't get me wrong, though. Here's how much of a hypocrite I am. Come NBA draft.
Exactly. It's on.
Hey, I think they might take this guy. I'm totally getting smoked for that in a couple of months. Good morning, Sam Amick. How are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning. You are driving currently, I'm sure, hands at 10 and 2, and the window's up and being safe and hands-free, so we appreciate. Where are you on the way to, if we can ask?
I'm actually passing the old Golden One Center, heading to the airport for tonight's Lakers-Nuggets game.
Mm. And I want to make clear, by the way, just a little personal thing here, because I don't want Sam to be upset with me. I actually know exactly where Sam's going because he told me on the phone like 5 minutes ago. But Sam, nobody else knew, so I wanted to give you a chance to. I didn't know if you were okay with it being disclosed or not. That's why I asked the dumb question.
No, it's all good. If you want the social and the home address too, that's fine. We're good.
Yes, we would actually.
Is somebody installing a pool?
Yes.
Sam, help us out. We'll start here. Malik Monk comes in second to Naz Reid, 10 points behind. I believe it was, 5 points for a first-place vote?
Two first-place vote difference.
Right, two first-place vote difference, which tells us we think, we're pretty sure that at least two people left Malik Monk off of first, second, and third. We know you voted for Malik Monk to win the whole thing, so you're okay with us, but can you explain? Let me just ask you this, dude. Is East Coast bias a real thing when it comes to voters, or do you think we overplay it because we have a victim complex? It's okay to say either.
I mean, I just don't see that being the case here because, you know, Naz Reid from the Midwest, Minnesota Timberwolves, benefiting.
But he's only one hour. But they're 2 hours ahead. So I'm saying 7 p.m. games in Minnesota start at 8 p.m. Eastern, whereas 7 p.m. games here start at 10 p.m. Eastern there. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit of that. I would argue that this particular situation is more they finished the season. We've talked in the past about how if you break down their numbers without him, it actually strengthens the league's case. But that's a lot to ask. I mean, the voters should be looking at that stuff. But I think that more likely the optics of the Kings struggling near the end, him not being in the conversation for the past couple of weeks because of his injury, and then Naz Reid just absolutely dominating down the stretch. That is one of the problems with awards voting in general is sometimes, it's funny, sometimes the narratives get set early, but sometimes it's like this where on the back end of the season, if two guys are close in a certain race, then you probably pay too much attention to what happened in the final couple of weeks.
Sam, I'm curious, you're in so much communication with all your athletic colleagues and other writers I know that you've built relationships with. How often do you personally talk to awards amongst your peers as the year goes through?
Fairly often. You know, toward the end of the process, you know, I had three or four kind of skull sessions with colleagues who you just kind of want to, like, whatever choices you made that you don't feel all that confident in, you want to get a second, third opinion. You know, some of those I even will reach out to a team, but you know, yeah, media folks are talking to each other for sure.
Well, I don't want to say Naz Reid. Look, I understand the case for Naz Reid. De'Aaron Fox's wife, Rasse, I thought had a really good idea on social media yesterday. Most of these guys voting are writers or communicators anyways. Why not include like a 1 to 2 sentence explanation under the 3, 4, 5, 6 things they vote on? But Sam, I also understand too, and I'm torn because anonymity in voting can also be important. It might, let's say the play-by-play voice for the Timberwolves thought Malik Monk should win it. Well, then he should vote for Malik Monk without fear of reprisal from his home fan base. Otherwise, every play-by-play voice, for example, or local media guy is going to vote for whoever's local in most cases because, you know, they just don't want to hear it. Would you be, as somebody who has a vote, would you be, and it's different for you being national, but would you lean more towards let's lay out every single person's vote, or do you think it should be kept anonymous?
Torn these days. I have wanted transparency in the past just because journalistically I think that's good. But, man, I got to be honest. Like, if you study the results, that local effect that you're talking about, it's just obviously a very real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, go look at all the MVP votes in Denver, and I, you know, that's not out yet, obviously, but tell me if anybody went against Jokic. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, I voted for him. I think he should be the guy. But conversely, go look at Oklahoma City media. And you know, that part bothers me only because it's one thing if you see a guy more and you have a greater appreciation for him. The politics are real. I mean, I'm honestly, I forget, I might have shared this last week, guys, but I'm giving some thought to not voting anymore because I don't really care to. It's funny because, like, Brisset's idea, I understand the desire to have an explanation. And there's nothing wrong with her idea, but I don't, you know, I go to the game the other night and a fairly prominent agent is asking me if I voted for two of his guys on All-NBA. Mm. And now you feel like not only are you in a different spot with that agent, but he's going to probably make sure that the player knows. And actually, I don't even mind. It's harmless enough to share. It was Rich Paul who has De'Aaron Fox, and I did not vote De'Aaron All-NBA, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm national, but I live here. So you kind of end up going, all right, I mean, if De'Aaron's in his feelings about it, I respect that. I get that. There's nothing I can do about it. We gotta do what we think is right based on who deserves what. But the politics that come with it are very real.
Yeah, I believe that for sure. As we're talking with Sam Amick from The Athletic. Sam, I know you kind of did a post script on the Kings season. They've done all their exit interviews from players now to Monty and Mike Brown yesterday. It feels like a huge summer coming up for them because 46 proved to not be enough wins for them. We all know what kind of went wrong during the season. Where do you kind of feel like the state of the Kings are after like that feel-good year a year ago to kind of a frustrating up-and-down roller coaster year this year and then heading into next season? Kind of where's the state of the Kings right now?
I think it's a pretty interesting time where obviously compared to previous postseasons, you know, before last year, Kings fans would take this all day, where it's like you have a foundation, you won a bunch of games, the West was better than expected, and you got, you know, kind of on the outside looking in of the playoffs. But you, you know, not to sound like Monty McNair, but you do have flexibility and options here. But the next few months are very important. What are you going to do with the roster? And really, I think philosophically, just what is the ceiling on this group? I think that's a very relevant question right now that I don't know what the answer is, but I think, you know, that we're going to learn a lot more in the next 12 months. And so, you know, can they be a team that finds a way to add another piece and become an actual contender? Or, you know, are the best times already behind them? I don't really know, but it seemed like the optimism was there with the media they did the past couple of days. And I think most of it is warranted. You know, they have been patient with the roster. They have not made a lot of mistakes. They just haven't swung for the fences much either, other than the Sabonis deal, obviously. So, you know, again, a pretty important offseason.
If Mike Brown, because I believe there's a mutual opt-out in his final year, if Mike Brown is not extended this summer, and in the article it said market value, which sounds like it's going to be double-digit millions there. If Mike Brown is not extended this summer, do you think this becomes a distraction next year?
Absolutely. Yeah I do. Because it's just, you know, I get the frustration of not making the playoffs, but I think if they chose not to extend him, then what you are saying is that despite the fact that you became the coach who broke the playoff drought, and, you know, they could have extended him at that time. Like, it's funny, this is a little bit of an apples to oranges comparison, but somebody brought this up to me. When Frank Vogel won a championship with the Lakers, he wanted an extension that following summer. He did not get it.
Yep.
Well, then a year later, they lose in the first round, and now all of a sudden it's like the Lakers decided that Frank Vogel couldn't coach anymore.
Yep.
And now he's in trouble. Now, Frank won a title, so I'm not trying to equate that to making the playoffs. But, you know, a year ago, Mike was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I think the fans, you know, mostly still feel that way. The question is, does the owner still feel that way, or is he so much in the here and the now that the disappointment of not making the playoffs is going to shape how he sees the coach? And I mean, to your question, yeah, I do personally think if there's not an extension, that you are just begging the coach to basically say, okay, message received. And, you know, I mean, again, with that mutual opt-out next year, then the question becomes, you know, is he on the hot seat if they struggle, or, you know, is he headed for the exits next summer just because he doesn't feel appreciated?
Jason, you take the last question here so Sam can get out of here, but I would argue this. I'm only half joking because he mentioned it's apples and oranges, Vogel to Mike Brown, but it, actually, if you look at the numbers since 1985, it might actually be easier to win a title with the Lakers than it is to make the playoffs with the Kings. So
that's a hell of a point.
I mean, they're both very difficult to accomplish.
Yeah. Jason. And just kind of to wrap up on that, Sam, on the Kings then, you know, so if we go to the last 2 years, one, they're kind of the darlings. They get the 3 seed, a playoff run with the Warriors in a 7-game series to this year where they fall short. I know we haven't even gotten to the offseason officially yet for the Kings and or everyone else, but just your gut feeling, do you think they've got more of the playoff-looking team going into next year or a team that needs some work to get there? Like, where do you kind of fall in line with the Kings?
Yeah, I mean, they're borderline. I did think it was really, really interesting yesterday, and I'm stealing this from Deuce and Mo. They had a stat that I guess Mike Brown shared about how basically if they would have been as good at the free throw line this season as they were last year, that they would have had the 7th best offense in the NBA instead of 14th or whatever they finished. So, you know, you look at little things like that, you know, and obviously all the different losses that shouldn't have been losses, games that got away. You know, it is a what-could-have-been season for them. I think it positions them as a good team that, you know, again, they need another piece. Keegan's got to take another step. It hurt him a lot, not to get in the weeds too much, but, like, you know, you guys remember Sasha Vasenkov was fairly significantly hyped within the organization. And so their, you know, their quote-unquote big moves of last season you know, convincing Sasha to come over, and then Davion being a, you know, a lottery pick, those two relative misses, and certainly on Sasha, that hurt them. You know, you can't, as you try to get better with the limited different avenues that you have, especially in a small market, that type of stuff hurts. So now they got to find solutions.
That's Sam Amick en route to L.A. to go watch the Nuggets beat the Lakers tonight. Sam, appreciate you. Appreciate the work done in that article as well. Make sure to read all the work he and Anthony Slater did and The Athletic with their postseason recap and kind of previewing the offseason of the Sacramento Kings. Sam, can I ask you one last question, please? I'm sorry. It's just one of my – I've got one of our loyal listeners who I love but also is a pain in my ass. I don't want to lead you here, but I'm going to anyways, and I want to apologize in advance for asking the question. But can we just do away with the idea that Malik Monk winning or not winning Sixth Man of the Year is not going to make him any cheaper or more expensive on the open market? Or, hey, am I wrong?
No, I don't think it matters. I mean, his agent's still going to be coming into the office with his chest puffed out and a bunch of good numbers.
Right.
He's feeling good about his case.
So you're telling me there's no GM out there that's like, you know, he didn't win the Sixth Man. I'm going from 100 to 80 million.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he wants to start. So,
right.
You know, that's part of the conversation as well. But, no, I don't think so. It's more, you know, my final thought on the voting front is, like, you talk about it getting personal. Like, geez, like, two first-place votes. You know, if you're Malik, who obviously wanted the award so badly, you know, you're going to be studying those. This is why it's tough on media. He's going to be studying all the results and then saying, okay, cool, so you didn't vote for me, you didn't vote for me. You know, I'm not giving you time. But, yeah, I don't think the award matters in terms of free agency.
Thank you, Sam Amick of The Athletic. Have a safe flight, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Be good. Thanks, Sam. Okay,
bye-bye. Well, Malik Monk, do we sign him or not? I was going to, but he didn't win Sixth Man of the Year.
Rubbish.
Rubbish, I say. 80 million. No, look, I'm having fun with Chris. I understand. We all want him back. I understand the question. I understand the thought process. It's just, that's a fan thing. That's a player thing. They have fun with it. What happens is, it just comes down to, what's the money? Mm-hmm. What's the fit? What are the statistics? How's he going to play with our guys? You know, if you're Orlando, you're laying it out there. How's he going to fit in with Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner and friends? Is he the type of guy that, you know, do you want to start him? Do you want to have him come off the bench? What does he want to do? And then, you know, it's weirdly a lot more boring than we think, mm-hmm. You know? And then, I mean, there's a little bit too that, you know, GMs will call around, like, they'll call friends of theirs. You know, maybe whoever the GM is in Orlando is going to call Jordy Fernandez,
yeah,
who's who we went to college with. Hey, what kind of player is he? Right. How is he in the locker room? That type of
thing. And some of the things I've heard from players in the past is like, hey, it's the only time they're in this, right? They when they pick their college, they're probably recruited by just about everybody. Well, I get the choice.
Right.
You get drafted. You get traded. Like, you don't have these choices. Now you have a choice.
Right.
And if you're as good as Malik and there are suitors out there, it's nice to have four or five, maybe more, interested in you. Now you can really think, okay, I know what Sacramento is. I know what I like there. Right. I know what I've got. Would it be better here in this city or this city or this city in this situation? So I think it's always nice to have choices. Might be one of the last times he has that as far as an NBA career.
I would say this too, Jason. I know this isn't Chris Webber. You know, it's mm-hmm. not De'Aaron Fox. I get that. And I also am not a big believer usually in, like, well, you know, it's kind of like, the Pelicans beat him 5-0, they can't beat him. You know, whatever happened before. Mm-hmm. Give me logic and fact. It should be said that Sacramento has a phenomenal record when it comes to retaining free agents they want to retain.
Correct.
I mean,
their best free agent signings are the people that have already been here.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Like, when you go back through history, and I'm trying to think, free agents that the Kings have wanted to bring back and have lost, I know there's at least one. I can't, top of my head, I cannot think of one. They either everybody re-ups or everybody re-signs. Now, we haven't had these limits. Usually, to be fair.
Was like, Bogey one?
Were they trying actively to re-sign Bogey, or was that more of a, he's going to, you know, go, we don't want to. I think.
Well, there was that trade that didn't happen, right?
Right. They tried to trade him. That didn't happen. The or they tried to trade. Yes. And then I think they could have outbid for him. They chose not to. They chose to let him go.
But Weber.
Weber came back.
Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay. De'Aaron Fox extended. Mm-hmm. Remember, I'm old enough to remember when the Halliburton trade was made. It was like, Sabonis can opt out in 2 years, which, by the way, that would have been this summer, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And some thought he was a free agent right when he was traded
right
for.
When he was free. Yeah, some practice. National writers and TV. Right. A tremendous record. And we're not even getting into, like, the Bobby Jacksons of the world, the bench guys that they have a really good track record of retaining their players. Now, to be fair, in many or most of those cases, the Kings were also able to offer more than these guys could get elsewhere. Right. Malik, in this case, it's flipped. This truly would, I mean, we don't know what's being offered yet. But it sounds like it's shaping up to where if Malik did stay in Sacramento, that there would be some sort of hometown discount.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I hope that happens. But it'll be very interesting. And honestly, if he leaves... Here's something. I think I know the answer, but I'm just going to ask you. I think I know. I think I absolutely know the answer. If Malik Monk were to sign somewhere else, how's the reception next year for him?
Oh.
Standing out?
Yeah. No, I think. Well, he's definitely not going to go out saying anything negative. I think it would be a business decision.
No, totally.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's love here, mutual. Right? He might even stay here.
Nobody here is going to be salty that he decided not to stay, even though the logic's there.
He's definitely writing like a player should be in peace, saying how much he loves the city. And
exactly. Once you do that.
I agree.
Yeah, and again, it's framing of when the comeback, too. Like, if there's anything said poorly by that player coming in, which won't be the case.
Right.
And then I think the Kings will choose to put some pretty cool highlights, you know, and Moke will know how to, and please, welcome back. Right. And there's going to be love.
Yes, I agree with
but
you.
But I hope that's not the case.
I think it'll
hope he stays.
I do too. And I honestly, I can't confirm this. I want to be clear. I can't confirm this, but I think people should definitely check it out and at least ask the question out there. I'm pretty sure my guess is right, I'm pretty sure that every media member in Orlando and Philadelphia left Malik Monk off.
Let's at least tell him
they
that.
Left him off of the voting for Sixth Man of the Year. I think they completely.
Yeah.
They actually thought he was ninth.
Right.
Is that really where you want to
ninth
play?
Ninth man of the year.
You know what we should do? We should also find out, like, every team. Because I know we always mention Philly and Orlando, but go through, like, find all the teams that could sign Malik Monk and just start. We're focusing way too much on Sacramento and the fans. Let's focus on, like, terrible things about Orlando.
Yes.
Horrible things about Philadelphia. I think San Antonio is one. San Antonio, what a hole. Why can't we go? Look, it's a
terrible Tex-Mex.
Watch
it.
You know what? For this, I'll lie.
Okay.
I'll you know what?
Puffy tacos.
Right. Puffy tacos.
Gross.
Yeah. Terrible. Just the worst. It's like drinking penicillin. It's just not tasty.
Same.
I don't know why I said drinking penicillin.
I don't either.
It's because I used to, when I was a little kid, I had this little pink. I had a choice between, I had some sort of sickness, and they gave me a choice between the pills and the pink stuff, and I thought it was pink like the other stuff that tasted good. This stuff tastes like.
Oh, yeah. What is that pink like medicine that they give you as a kid that tastes really good?
I think it's amoxicillin. Pepto-Bismol?
No. I think you might be right on amoxicillin.
And this wasn't that. And it was
poison.
It was foul. But I was a little kid. I was like, I want the liquid. It's going to taste yummy.
Watch me catch this baseball. Oh.
Also, and as we break, can I say something? And I know this is a really serious subject, and I'm not trying to make light of it. It's honestly one of my I'm a little kid who doesn't know the world questions. Shouldn't all liquid medicines, especially for kids, taste terrible?
Oh, in theory, you avoid
right, like in theory.
I want more of that.
That's like a little kid, and I know they make them childproof and all that. I'm just saying, in theory. Wouldn't that kind of, I know you want the kid to take this stuff and people to take this stuff, but I feel like if it tasted not foul, but just not good, like coconut water, then, you know, coconut water's not good.
There was a certain orange cough medicine that I liked growing up as a kid.
That's what I'm saying,
I'm with
dude.
You on that, Chris.
I might have.
Yeah, exactly.
Exaggerated the cough
thing.
That I had.
I liked the taste of Pepto-Bismol when I was a kid. I'm not going to lie. It was a little minty at the end. Nice, sweet flavor. You know, maybe I'm just saying.
Shake.
Gross. Oh my God, a Pepto shake. Put a couple shots of Pepto in your vanilla ice cream. Blend it up. It's a nice pink shake.
Cotton candy.
Hey, it's, yeah, right? That's not strawberry. We'll take a break. But you know what? I'm unusually balanced intestinally these days with my Pepto shakes. When we come back, Mike Brown spoke yesterday. We've got audio from his season-ending presser. We'll talk about that. And by the way, we'll also, we're going to grade Mike Brown and Monty McNair, too, as well, not just the players. We'll do all that next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
The only place in the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Thank you to Sam Amick for joining us earlier. Hey, listen, if you missed it, go to YouTube.
Yeah.
Or the podcast. Or any of the number of places. You should be following Sacktown Sports on all socials. 916-339-1140 is our text line. Hey, look, Simone checked in.
Hi, Simone.
Coconut water is amazing. You're an idiot. Wow, she called you an idiot. Mm. That's terrible. Gross. Let me tell you something about coconut water. Which I do drink from time to time, but I have to augment it with something. Straight up coconut water tastes like urine smells.
So then why would you drink it at all?
Because it's good for you. And as you know, I'm very healthy. Mm-hmm. No, it is good for you. And honestly, it's
why?
A great way to
What's
quench
it for you?
I don't know. It has like vitamin stuff in it and you know, and hydration things and electrolytes and, you know, all that crap. I don't know. There's coconut water sometimes in the fridge and I drink it. But straight up pure, like actual coconut water, honestly, it tastes like pea smells. It's like salty, kind of. There's a little salt. Have you ever had coconut water?
I have, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, you'd think it would be like, oh, water with the.
I think I've only had it once, so maybe there's better versions.
There's
and I was
flavored
like,
coconut water.
Because I've heard people rave about it, and I'm like, ooh, I didn't like that.
No, a flavored coconut water is totally different. Okay. I'm talking about pure,
maybe I
unflavored
that.
Coconut water. When I first, I was like, oh, water with a tinge of coconut. I like coconut. I like water. Mmm, yum. But then you taste it, you're like, ah, it's kind of. I can't get over the salty. It's just a salty tang to it. So, hey, you know, to each their own, right?
Absolutely.
Some people like asparagus, me. Some people don't. We had Brussels sprouts last night. Some people like them. Some people don't.
I don't.
I'm going to do the thing where I, like, when somebody says they don't like Radiohead, and they're like, have you ever listened to Radiohead in the dark with the Thundersticks? You know, like, have you ever, are you confident that you have had Brussels sprouts made well for you?
Oh, I've had them where they've tasted better, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just don't
like
them. Okay.
Wow, calling out Jason's family's chefs.
No, I don't. Look, there's one thing I will never call out.
Yeah.
It's Jason's family's ability to cook.
They've prepared them well.
Okay.
And I go, okay, it's more tolerable. I just don't prefer them.
It's fine.
Yeah. So I would never order them, put it that way. Now, if they were certain, if it was like, hey, here's the meal and there's Brussels sprouts, I'm like, yeah, I'll take two.
Yeah.
I'll eat them.
I'll eat them.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll hork them down.
Yeah,
but, you know, I won't.
Probably
enjoy
first.
It. Yeah,
and then I'm done. You can get any. Oh, I ate them already.
That's actually a really interesting point. I do the same thing. If there's,
I used to wait.
I eat now an order of least to most thing that I like.
Yeah, usually, hopefully, I have everything I right. like on there in some way, shape, or form. But sometimes, like, yeah, I better eat that.
But you do have a ranking.
I do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a ranking. The only exceptions are when, like, it's Thanksgiving and there's turkey and like, I'll eat everything but the turkey and mashed potatoes, but I have to kind of eat them together because the mashed potatoes and gravy moistens the turkey.
Yeah, and you know I can eat things together. Some people are like, no, I can't have the corn touch the peas or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the potatoes can't touch the chicken. I'm like, why?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I
can eat them all at once.
I'm not
going to
lie. I do get a little hinky when, like, the cranberry sauce is in the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah, I'd prefer that not to be, but if it happens, like, oh.
I don't do the big Thanksgiving Dagwood where you put the cranberry and the potatoes and the stuffing and the mac and cheese and the turkey
mm-hmm.
and make it into a sandwich.
No.
It's all fine, but I'm not putting cranberry sauce on
right.
it. Mike Brown. Spoke to the crew yesterday. Jason, you asked him about season growth.
Oh, I did. That's
yeah,
right.
And he had this to say.
Although we're all disappointed that we're not playing right now, you know, there were some good things in terms of our growth that happened this year. I'm proud of our guys. Our guys, they competed. They prepared the right way. They try to lock in and focus on the details. They continue to try to improve upon our identity, trying to play fast. Obviously, trying to play physical, which really increased. And then playing for each other. This group has been connected from day one, and that connectivity has gone a long way in terms of our growth.
Okay, what about defensively, Coach Mike Brown?
But the growth that our guys have shown this year has been tremendous on both sides of the ball. You know, defensively, the growth speaks for itself in a lot of areas, especially with us going from, I think, 23 or 25, around there, to 14, 15 this year. With the same group of guys for the most part, with a few injuries. Our guys grew a lot on that end of the floor. They embraced it, and they took off on that end of the floor.
Mm-hmm. And they did. I honestly, they did grow defensively as the season wore on. And is that Simone with coconut water? Is that, come here, get in here. They did grow as the season went on. And part of that's personnel. You know, Keon Ellis making a move here.
See, that looks flavored.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, Simone. This is Trader Joe's organic coconut water, and it's got a, here we go. It's a Young Thai Nam Hom coconut.
Delicious.
But it's got like a rose color to it.
So that happens when it oxidizes.
Oh, so this is just straight up coconut water? Oh, she's got a, we're getting coconut shots here. Yeah, that's not, okay. No, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, good. Thank you. Now, right, smell.
Ooh.
It smells like ass.
Uh-huh.
Assy, ass-ish. What is that? It's like a meaty.
That's like a potato chip.
Right.
Or something.
It's like woody. No. I got it. No, I got it, man. You ever have corn Chex?
Or I got like Doritos.
Yeah, yes. Which are made from corn tortillas, yeah. I think.
Can I say that you're both right?
Right? It's like corn Chex and Doritos had a baby.
Without this, I don't really have the salt, though.
Then we're, yeah, this isn't that. Well, I think the salt is being covered up.
Yeah, I didn't like that much.
Yeah, it tastes like I'm drinking like the cereal water from Corn Chex and Doritos, but plain Doritos. There's no nacho or Cool Ranch in there.
So that was a flavored coconut water?
No, I don't.
Not better flavored.
No, God.
It's not flavored.
No,
it's not flavored?
Oh. Get all the way out of here with that.
That was good for me?
I don't think if that's what's good for me, I don't want to. I want what's bad.
Corn check.
So delicious.
That
taste 4%
of your daily calcium.
Okay, but
15% of your daily potassium.
That doesn't taste. That has nothing to do with taste. I admit there's advantages.
Yeah. I feel like that's an acquired taste.
It tastes good.
Like an IPA of water. Like how IPA everyone says it's an acquired taste, and I'm like, it tastes like a pine tree, dude.
I hate IPA.
Yeah.
I think I can agree with you guys. It is an acquired taste. I usually remedy this for when you've had too many libations the night before. It's a
right. Like
electrolytes.
I got buddies who have Pedialyte in their fridge and they ain't babies. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get that.
Oh, they're babies.
I'm just saying, if I'm looking at, like, here's some regular water.
Give me the regular.
A sweet tea.
Because I have regular water here.
A root beer, a Pepsi, a coffee, a tea, a lemonade, Ocean Spray cran grape.
Coconut water's last.
Coconut water's not even invited to the party.
Yeah.
Everyone, just do this exercise with me. Close your eyes. You're on a beautiful beach in Thailand. There is a fresh coconut to you with a little straw and a little umbrella. You take a sip. It is so refreshing and cold.
I mean,
amazing.
The visual is cool.
It tastes like what we just had.
But I'm going to one of them Thailand the little trucks and getting
food cart.
Yeah, I'm getting some sort of lime sugary awesome tropical drink they're making. Now let me ask you this: I don't drink. How come coconut water hasn't caught on like Red Bull, where like you mix a bunch of drinks with coconut water, so that way you're kind of killing the hangover as it happens.
I'm sure in
that's
countries-
not what Red Bull does.
No. I know. No, I get that. But I'm saying, why isn't coconut water part of a regular bartender's mixer?
I'm sure in countries where it's more readily available, it may be utilized more. But I think that
shortage of coconut water here.
No, it's expensive.
So you're paying a premium to taste corn checks.
Was that an expensive bottle?
Yeah, I bet you it was. Let me guess.
Like $3 or $4, which is expensive for
that was
PJs.
Small.
That is expensive.
It was a little fella.
It was a little guy.
Yeah.
We both drank at least 75 cents.
I agree.
I'll pay you back.
They charge for that later. Boom. We're all going to have to throw in our quarters. Well, thank you, Simone.
Yeah, sorry for taking over the segment.
You didn't take over the segment. So anyways, that's what Mike Brown said.
Okay.
We got a lot more of Mike Brown coming up. Well, one more here on the free throw shooting, then we'll break.
One of my guys brought up the fact that if we shot the ball at the same rate from the free throw line as we did last year, which wasn't extraordinary, it was more than doable, we would have finished 7th in offensive rating instead of 13th.
MC says, I've never been forced to suck down gallons of straight water. I don't know why. For weeks on end, his palate is purchased, and purchased is spelled with a dollar sign. And established has one dollar sign, but then the other one's a regular S. An established taste. I like water. That's my number one drink. I enjoy water.
Yeah, but you're being made to do that.
I don't think I've ever been held down and forced to drink. I don't know what that. No, you got me. Is that a deep state thing?
I don't know.
Have I been taken over by big water? Is deep coconut a part of this thing?
Yes.
Are there
Wake
any?
Wake up.
We can't talk about it.
Are there any horse socks? We'll take a break. When we come back, who's hot? Who's not? Let's go streaking, then we'll hear from Monty McNair next.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
According to MC, I've also never been really tired or thirsty. Yeah? Why don't you play back-to-back-to-back-to-backs all day long for 9 hours on the Winston Churchill Blacktop in July?
Yeah.
See how thirsty and tired you are, guy. Who's hot?
Malik Monk.
Okay.
This season, he averaged 15.4 points per game, 5.1 assists per game. He was first in bench points, first in bench assists, and first in clutch points by a bench player. He's also the first player since Lou Williams with 1,000-plus points and 350-plus assists off the bench. And you know what? He has had the most bench points in a row and has not won the Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, 2 years. Only guy to lead the league in bench points 2 years in a row and not win Sixth Man of the Year. Who's not?
Jason Tatum.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically in the fourth quarter. In 12 minutes, he had 4 points, shot 1 of 3 from the field, had 1 rebound, 0 assists, or 1 assist, 0 steals, in the Celtics 111-101 loss to the Heat last night.
Boo.
Yeah, he's starting to get a reputation, ain't he?
Yeah.
Deserved or not.
That's a respectable job. Yeah.
See what Jimmy Butler sent Jaylen Brown's way?
A
little troll job?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know who else is not hot?
Who?
Major League Baseball. The reason number 746 why they've lost the script here. I have put out by Major League Baseball their pitching power rankings for the season. Number 10, Ranger Suarez, who weirdly plays for the Phillies. Jared Jones. Jose Berrios. This is a great name for a pitcher. Cutter Crawford, Boston. Freddie Peralta. Dylan Cease. Corbin Burns of the Orioles, number 4. Tarik Skubal of the Tigers. Tyler Glasnow of the Dodgers, number 1. Zach Wheeler. Logan Webb can't. Does he not count? Is he not allowed to?
He's the Malik Monk of.
I guess. I mean, is he allowed to be a part of that at all? I mean, maybe, am I wrong? Let me take just a quick look here. Logan Webb, he's 3-1 with a 2.33 ERA. Is that maybe not good?
Pretty good. It's really good, actually.
1-800-920-1140. I didn't screen this call. Uh-oh. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is JR, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Good morning, JR.
I ate paid chips and washed out with cough syrup, and I am fine.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Nothing. I played football in college, and we used to fold up our helmet and put it in our back pocket, and I'm – wait, who's there? Hello? Hey, strategically, when the Kings missed 3 free throws, that was the issue. I know we just – I'm going to get serious for a second. Uh-oh. It was the games and when they missed them in certain spots that killed us.
You mean like behind when the rim?
Well, I mean when we really needed a couple and Fox goes 0 for 2 at the line or something.
Yeah.
There was certain games where we really did that, and there were games, and those are games we lost by 1 or 2. And so, sorry, but that is a major impact on the season.
I couldn't agree.
Other than that, everything's good. Who's there?
Cue it up. Let's go streaking.
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking!
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking.
All right, we have some streaks on the line here. Carmichael Dave.
Said that before.
You were at 3, trying to get to 4.
Yeah.
And you took Jose Altuve from the Houston Astros. He got up 4 times yesterday.
I don't like the way you're starting. You got a smile on your face and everything. Here comes the hammer.
Did he get 4 hits?
Nope.
Did he get 3 hits?
Uh-uh.
2 hits?
Nope.
A hit?
Nope.
0 hits.
The way you're delivering it, I always try to guess based on your delivery. I am guessing Jose Altuve was lame.
Jose Altuve, with his 4 plate appearances, got 1 hit.
Hey, I was wrong. And I'm
Carmichael
happy to be
Dave
wrong.
Is at 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I took Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds on a 1-game hit streak. Ellie De La Cruz had 5 plate appearances yesterday. He got 3 hits.
Wow. He's on fire.
So I'm at a 2-game hitting streak.
Look at you.
Christopher Laud was on a 1-game hitting streak. He took Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He got up 6 times. He got 4 hits.
Jeez, you guys.
Yesterday as a show, we were 8 of 15.
And I was the bad one.
Yeah.
Wow. That's over 500 by my math.
So Dave's at 4. I'm at 2. Chris is at 2. We are streaking, guys.
Okay. All right. I'm going to keep it going here.
Little lighter schedule today. Keep that in mind.
Let's see. Is Atlanta playing, DC? The Braves?
Let me see. The Atlanta Braves are not playing.
Oh, no. I'm trying to keep, because I was going to go with Marcel Ozuna.
Ozuna or later you can get him, but.
All right, is Milwaukee playing?
The Bucks or the Brewers?
The Brewers.
Or the Packers.
Packers. The Milwaukee Packers.
Yes.
Okay.
They are in 30 minutes.
They are. Give me Bryce Turang. Turang. Did you ring? Bryce Turang. Have I heard his name before? Nope. Is he 16th in batting average? Yep.
Okay. I'm picking a rando today as well. I'm picking from the Minnesota Twins. I couldn't pick this guy out of a lineup, but he is in their lineup. And his name apparently is something Jeffers. We're going to go with Ryan Jeffers.
Oh, Jeffers.
Oh, Jeffers.
Well, Jiggins.
Moving on up.
Ryan Jeffers.
Sense.
Yeah.
Chris Rolock.
I'm going to take from the Boston Red Sox, Jaron Duran, or possibly Jaron Duran.
Duran. Roberto
Great
Duran.
Band.
Really
Great?
Good band. Did you guys?
Yeah, good.
Did you guys see the clip that was floating around recently of it was like on a cruise or something, and this like, you know, busker, you know, the guys like have a microphone. Maybe it was at a cafe. They have the mic and their guitar, and they're up there just, you know, singing a few songs. So this guy's up there, and he's singing Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran. And all of a sudden, this dude comes up and, like, starts singing with him. That's Simon Le Bon. Duran Duran. Just rolls up in glasses and flip-flops, looking a little older than I thought he looked. And just starts singing. And the guy, like, thank goodness, and the guy recognizes him, like, immediately. And is like,
I helped write this song.
Right? He's freaking out. The next thing you know, they're doing.
Like, I got this.
Yeah, I got this. They're doing harmonies and stuff. Yeah, it's a cool video. I'll throw it out there to you guys.
And he threw him off the ship.
And then they all had glorious lunchtime together. Yeah. Take a break. When we come back.
The reflex.
Monty McNair, who we hope will be speaking to us next week exclusively right here in your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports. He did speak at the season-ending press conference. We'll see if we can pick up some stuff from that. I want to finish with Mike Brown, though. First, we'll do all that right after this.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.